What's up, everyone? This is Lito, and you're listening to Crypto Testers, a podcast keeping you informed about all the coolest projects in the crypto space. In today's episode, I talk to Evgeny Yurtaev, the founder of Zerion. Zerion is one of the products or tools that I use almost on a daily basis in the DeFi space. For me, it embodies a lot of the properties that I love about Web3 and Ethereum. Basically, with Zerion, you can connect any Ethereum wallet in one click, and Zerion shows you all your positions which are associated with that wallet in a beautiful dashboard that helps you really manage your DeFi funds. In addition, you can also use a lot of DeFi protocols because they're natively integrated, meaning you can, for example, swap a token within the Zerion interface without having to go to another website. Essentially, it makes your DeFi life much easier, and that's why I wanted to have Evgeny on the podcast. But before we jump into the show, I want to thank our sponsor, Bitwala. Bitwala is Germany's crypto flagship company. They offer users in Europe a full-fledged bank account, including deposit insurance and other things, as well as an integrated Bitcoin and Ethereum wallet. So using Bitwala, you can move your money seamlessly between your euros and your crypto. They keep on adding new features, such as their recently launched Bitcoin interest account, allowing users to earn interest on their Bitcoin. I highly recommend you check them out. I will post a link in the show notes. Hey, Evgeny.
Hi, Lito.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me. Exciting to be here on Crypto Testers.
I'm super happy to have you today here because I've tried to like slowly make my way to the topic of decentralized finance with this podcast. First, I had the founders of centralized services like Nexo, Brave, etc., because I thought those are easier to understand and for people who are new to crypto to get started with. But I think now, with considering how hot the DeFi space is, I really want to make this a topic for this podcast. And I think Zerion is the perfect place to get started, since you're sort of a gateway into this DeFi world, making it much easier for users to navigate the DeFi world. So yeah, super cool to have you. And maybe let's start with a short introduction of yourself and how you got started with Ethereum.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the CEO and co-founder of Zerion. I've been in the Ethereum space since the beginning. So I did see the white paper before the Ethereum was launched. And I was participating in the Ethereum ICO as well. And since then, I was kind of hooked in. I did like the concept a lot of programmable primitives, programmable money, and smart contracts overall, and Web3 as well. All of that led me to develop stuff in the Ethereum space. And that's how essentially we got into the whole thing. I met our CTO, Alex, on one of the hackathons in the, I think, 2015. It was the first blockchain hackathon in Moscow. And we participated as just developers, and we helped Sasha Ivanov, who is now the CEO and founder of Waves platform. We helped him to create like a simple idea that he had in mind. And essentially, this is how we got our first client, because later he asked us to develop the smart contract for the Waves ICO. So this is how we kind of like got into the space hands-on.
So you were kind of a developer agency for smart contracts on Ethereum.
Yeah, so this is what it led to. So we started as just like two guys building some smart contracts as an outsourced thing. And then we turned that into an agency, essentially helping people to create their ideas, their DApps, their smart contracts. That all led to the ICO market, and we were helping a lot of different projects to create their smart contracts for ICOs. And also we launched this tokenization platform, which would allow them to easily create their token sales. And yeah, then the DeFi happened. So that's the long story short.
Yeah, that's so cool. I think it's so representative also of the DeFi space that, and how global it is, that you guys are from Russia and, you know, pretty young, just met each other at a hackathon. How big is the Ethereum scene in a city like Moscow? Are we talking about like a couple of people in a room, or is there a lot of other people that, you know, meeting up and hacking around on Ethereum and stuff back then?
Back then, you mean like 2015 or?
Yeah, let's say.
I think it was changing a lot.
Okay. And you were like a technical guy. You could have probably started a lot of other things. I mean, there are other interesting topics. But what got you excited about Ethereum specifically?
So for me, it was always pretty clear. So when Bitcoin came about, I just liked the solidness of the concept. That was the first time I kind of opened my eyes on what money is and like how it essentially worked. And Bitcoin was pushing out this narrative about, you know, governments controlling all of the centralized money, fiat money, and how it's all can be different essentially with Bitcoin. And that's how I got excited in the first place about cryptocurrencies. And then later on, I just saw an opportunity. It kind of made sense to me that you can have the code that is controlling the like the value transfers. That idea that you can like program trust as well was really hooking. And yeah, and that kind of combined my passions. Like otherwise, I would probably do something in the IT space, but this combination with the financial markets got me really excited too.
Gotcha. And so, yeah, you had a couple of gigs and helped a few companies with their ICOs here and there. Then how did you get to create Zerion?
Yeah, essentially, we just noticed like that the ICO space was dying out and we kind of stopped liking it. We almost like decided to quit because it was just so many scam projects we didn't want to work with. There were, you know, every ICO project that successfully raised something decided that they can scale up and create an agency to launch ICO. So it was just a really weird market full of hype. Mm-hmm. And we were thinking of where else can we apply the technical skills and the team that we have and what would be the best place for us to work in. It kind of naturally, we had two choices, I would say. So first was just going into more STO or like EEO style. But that was less technical and we didn't like that at all. So we didn't have expertise in like, say, creating a structured offerings or stuff like that. That was not something that we were excited about at all.
And also very regulation heavy probably, right?
Correct. Yeah. We didn't believe in that market that is going to evolve really quick. And we wanted to do something technical and cutting edge. So that's how we got in the DeFi space.
Yeah. What was the first product? What was there even in the DeFi space so early on?
We actually started with portfolio tracking. So we were working on the portfolio tracking, like automatic portfolio tracking, starting from even like, I'd say 4 months before DeFi as a term was announced. So we were already moving in that direction. So building out like a system where you just plug in your Ethereum address and it just fetches all the balances of tokens, which now seems really easy. But back in the day, there were not many products that would allow you to do that. So essentially all the portfolio trackers were manual, so you put in the amounts that of different tokens, and that seemed like a really weird idea to us. So we wanted to build something that would fetch everything by itself. So that's how we started. We didn't release it, so we were still building it when the DeFi as a term was coined. And what we realized immediately is that before it was just the portfolio use case, but now with DeFi you can just combine that easily with a Web3 wallet and you can start making transactions as well. So that was kind of like a groundbreaking concept for us. So this is how we started moving into the direction of actually making transactions and interacting with the Ethereum blockchain directly through Zerion.
Gotcha. So there was no protocol integration. It was really more about tracking users' assets.
The first version we released to the public was actually featuring Uniswap. Version 1 as the first protocol integrated. So that was in the beginning of 2019. So I think it was January 2019.
Understood.
We released it.
Yeah. And can you explain Zerion today? And imagine I'm someone that is not familiar with DeFi. I might have heard the term, but I have some cryptocurrency which I hold in Coinbase. So what is the Zerion and why do people need it?
Yeah, if you have some cryptocurrency in Coinbase, then the easiest explanation for Zerion is it's kind of like a non-custodial Coinbase. I think that's that would suffice. So essentially, from the broader perspective, you can go to Zerion and essentially buy anything that is available in the Ethereum space, any token, and you can track your portfolio. And yeah, similar to what you do in Coinbase, you can HODL or you can even use that to, let's say, lend and earn more yield on your assets.
Gotcha. So, okay, let's say I am someone that knows what a non-custodial wallet is. I have my Ether in MetaMask, and maybe I even have a second wallet like Argent, and I also have some coins there, but I have never really interacted with any DeFi protocols to, let's say, deposit my money into Compound and earn interest on it, or provided liquidity to like Uniswap. Like, why do I need Zerion then?
Yeah, so that is a much closer use case. So essentially, if you want to make more of your assets, you kind of have to use DeFi. That's what DeFi is about. Or if you want to somehow optimize your portfolio, that is also about DeFi. So if your use case is just to hodl the tokens, then you probably don't need to do anything in the DeFi space. But if you start actively using your crypto assets and you are here not just to put them on and like sell in the future, but you want to actually use them for something meaningful, like for instance, providing liquidity or earning yields, so essentially maximizing your returns, then you have to use DeFi. And as soon as you start using DeFi, you realize that there is no good place on the market essentially to track your returns and track your coins, except for just a few projects, and Zerion is one of them.
Yeah, why is that actually? For example, my MetaMask, I can see all the assets that I hold in my wallet. So my Ether and my DAI and my USDC, they're like all displayed there. But as soon as I use like a DeFi protocol, I go to, let's say, Compound or something, and I provide some USDC there, earn some interest, and then I go to another DeFi protocol, then these funds are not anymore in my MetaMask wallet, and I basically have no way of like tracking how my portfolio is doing. Like, why is that not integrated into wallets in the first place? Why do I need something like Zerion?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a pretty sophisticated one. So the short answer here is that for all the tokens that you see in MetaMask, there's a standard, which is ERC-20. But for the rest of the DeFi assets, there's no such a standard. So one example would be if you put some money in, let's say, DYDX. So DYDX doesn't give you a token in return for your money that you put in DYDX. And that means that essentially your funds are lost for your wallet. So your wallet doesn't recognize that you have some money in DYDX. And same goes to almost like the majority of protocols, I would say. You might have like a huge debt on Compound or on Maker, and your MetaMask wallet wouldn't even know about this debt and wouldn't even know about the collateral in the case of Maker. These gotcha. Things, because there's no standard, there's not much. There's a lot of integrations that wallets should do in order to show everything in the DeFi space. And like that's a problem that we're tackling at Zerion as well.
Gotcha. So it's a pretty complex task to basically scan the whole blockchain and see all the different positions of the user and display that in a convenient way. And that's why wallets don't do it and you guys are doing it basically for the user.
Yeah. And one thing I wanted to note here is that we're actually trying to make that easier for other developers as well. So that was the release of DeFi SDK that we did. The first release is precisely solving this issue. So instead of trying to integrate and like query all different protocols differently, that would require manual integration with every protocol. You can just use DeFi SDK, and we have adapters for each of the protocols. So it's a purely on-chain free solution that you can query, and will give you balances of different protocols as well. So that's what we've been working on. And if anyone is looking for a solution to that problem, we're here to help.
Nice. So hopefully we'll see more of these nice tracking features in other wallets soon.
Yeah, I hope so too.
So you mentioned this like portfolio tracking. What other features does Zerion offer?
Yeah, so we were integrating features. So over the 2019, we were integrating features one by one and protocol. So we started with Uniswap, as I mentioned before. Then we moved on to have Maker support. Then we released Compound Lending. And then we released Uniswap Pool. So that was a progression that we did. But what we realized in the middle is that it's kind of the number of protocols was increasing every day. So mm-hmm. we decided that we're going to focus on the portfolio use case for the time being. Even though you can still trade on Zerion, you can put money on Compound, there are other things in the DeFi space that we wanted to integrate faster. So essentially, we decided to build this abstraction layer. And starting from, so we're I'm hopeful that we're going to release that at some point this month. You'll be able to trade across different protocols as well. But then in September, we're planning to have support for stuff like balancer pools, Uniswap pools, Curve pools, etc. So like way more protocols than we currently support with a single integration.
Gotcha. So it was like a short-term focus on the portfolio tracking because there was no way to keep up with the number of protocols, but in the future, you're picking this up again.
Yeah, and we just decided that we don't want to do integrations as we were approaching them before. So when we started, we were just natively integrating them on the front end, which is not scalable at all. Yeah. So every integration would have to be repeated on every client. So our mobile apps are widely used right now, and we also wanted to bring more interacting functionality on mobile. And we just didn't see a way to make it with like the current state of the market because the number of protocols just constantly increasing. So with the DeFi SDK, we can encode that on the smart contract level, and then just like on clients, it's going to be much, much easier. So that's the plan. And hopefully we'll have the support for interacting with almost anything in DeFi space.
Okay. And like what features are mostly used by your users?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in terms of, do you mean like in terms of interacting with the blockchain?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that was changing quite a bit. So it started with, I think the most successful use case in the beginning was Compound. So as soon as we integrated the second version of Compound, we saw huge volumes flowing through Zerion. The second, I would mention Uniswap pools. So people were pretty excited. There was, back in the day, there were not many interfaces that would allow you to do that nicely. So that was a big thing. And I guess just like a simple transfer is widely used all the time.
Ah, interesting. How would you say Zerion differs from other aggregating interfaces, such as, for example, InstaDApp or Zapper, even DeFi Saver? I know there are some nuances, but I'd like to hear your opinion on that.
Yeah, so I would say that all of these products are different. So let's put it this way. I think the closest you would find is Zapper to what we do at Zerion. So just to get a few out of the way. So essentially, DeFi Saver is now focusing on automation use case. And that is something that we would happily integrate in Zerion at some point. So they are focusing on like kind of robo-advisory style transactions. So that's a bit different from what we do. And a similar thing goes to InstaDApp. So they're not focusing on the portfolio use case. So they don't allow you to track the assets that people have on multiple, let's say, MetaMask wallets. They only show the portfolio that is locked on their proxy, which is, we didn't like that approach completely for the reasons that essentially that's locking up the user to the InstaDApp's ecosystem. And the DeFi state is essentially freedom. And like now there's so much convenience in having like a MetaMask wallet and going to all of these new cool things without waiting for InstaDApp to integrate them. You can just directly interact with them. So that was the big thing. And I think, our approach to not forcing users to have their own account, similar to like how InstaDApp or Argent do that, I think that was a good bet overall. But InstaDApp is doing a great job in terms of optimizing really complicated transactions. So I think it's very useful for larger funds or whales trading in DeFi space or like refinancing their positions from Maker to Compound or like Aave. So that's a different use case. And for Zapper, I would say at this point, it's pretty much the difference in the technology that we're using. So they're purely front-end based and they are querying blockchain directly for the assets, similar to what we were doing in the beginning. Yeah, we just decided that this approach is a bit complicated in terms of development. It does have short-term benefits of like having everything supported readily right away. But in the long run, we feel like some data layer infrastructure is needed that we're building out as well. And that takes us more time. So that's the technology difference.
Okay. Yeah, I really like the approach that you're taking. And I totally agree with the fact that, yeah, solutions like InstaDAP and even Argent, which I'm a big fan of, they lock the user up to a certain extent. Whereas if you use, let's say, like dummy or normal accounts, as they are called on Ethereum, like wallets like MetaMask or Fortmatic, yeah. I really love the fact that you can just like connect them in a click to any dApp, any interface like Zerion. For Zerion, I don't have to like sign up or anything. It's really just like one click connecting a wallet. And I think that this should remain like this going forward.
Yeah, I really hope so. The gas fees are killing us, though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I have a question about that later on. And just quickly mentioned it, that for Zerion, you can basically connect any wallet or many wallets, a hardware wallet, I think, like a MetaMask, which is like the most popular Ethereum wallet, like a browser extension. And there's other solutions like Fortmatic or Ethereum.
Yeah, DApp browsers as well.
Yeah, exactly. But would you ever consider launching your own wallet? Or do you think that's really like something that you prefer some other specialists to do when you just provide this, like you concentrate on the portfolio tracking use case?
Actually, we did consider that for quite some time. So that was on our roadmap at some point. So to be completely true. But we decided to take a step back with this plan. And the reason for that is just we didn't see a big value of having our own account. So essentially, that would be, if we were to create like a smart contract-based account, that would be the same locking as like, let's say, Argent does in a way. The users, I don't think that we're at this point on the market when users demand that. So it's more about right now creativity and like being free. So this is essentially, we decided that we would not create anything that would be useful at this point of time on the market with a new wallet. But as we go, I mean, we do have plans and like we constantly think about it. But I don't think it's going to be, if we were to release a wallet, it's probably going to be different from like a very standard one. So I'm thinking layer two solutions instead.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, Zerion really reminds me of, in Europe, we have these multi-banking apps that allow users to track all their finances. So you can like connect your different bank accounts or your credit cards and your loyalty cards. And then you can basically see all of these accounts aggregated into one interface, but then often you see these multi-banking apps and also provide some services on top. So they give users a debit card, or users can like track all their spendings. And so there's always like these good ideas that you can then layer on top of these services. But for Zerion, how do you want to monetize this going forward? Because you also have some investors, I think, nowadays, right?
Yeah, we did raise our seed round last year.
So I guess I don't know how much pressure they put on you, but they must be thinking about like how you guys are going to monetize it. Do you have any ideas there, or is it very early on? And
yeah, happy to take that. So first of all, talking about our investors are amazing. So they're not pushing too hard on like starting to get revenue right away. But at the same time, we do have discussions about how we plan to monetize. There multiple ways we're thinking, but we don't want to, we're not in that big of a need in terms of the in terms of like revenue generation as of now, so there is no real pressure put on us at this point. But in terms of the ideas, we don't want to charge users at this point, so we just feel like the ecosystem is too early, and it's more important to provide a better service rather than trying to get a small commissions from all the users. The second thought here is that what we are thinking about more is monetizing on the data layer plus the DeFi SDK infrastructure. So if other people want to build something that is similar to Zerion, or like they want to have a more like, let's say, a narrow version for a specific market, for like a local market, they can use DeFi SDK, and we have a model backed in DeFi SDK, so such that they can just use all the knowledge and expertise that we have, and they don't need to go through all the pain that we went through with integrating all of that stuff in the same product.
So you'd basically monetize the infrastructure and the knowledge that you gained through building Xerion, the interface, but the interface itself, you would basically provide it as a convenience to the users.
Yeah, so the main interface is more about, you know, kind of like the reference implementation, and we will continue to improve on this, and like that's our path, and we potentially we'll see. So there is nothing we cannot do. So eventually, if we were to provide some features that are like going premium or pro features for DeFi nerds, we can do that as well. But in terms of like the current plan, we do have some API clients, and we're now testing if that's something that's going to be interesting for more people to have.
Yeah, I'm really curious about how wallets and interfaces are going to monetize, because for protocols, it's quite straightforward. They're a bit like the traditional world. They just charge a small cut on each trade or on each loan that is issued. But for the interfaces, it's less clear. And it's also really different from the way interfaces work in the traditional world, where the user is really owned by the website. Like Facebook, for example, they really own the user. They have the data on him and stuff. But like wallet interfaces it's just an interface. The data really is on the blockchain, right? And the user can just switch from one provider to the next in seconds. There's no switching cost, basically. So super interesting. And so you guys are more focusing, you don't want to like charge the user, but you more want to go like a infrastructure provider approach.
Yeah, I have like a lot of thoughts on this. We did discuss that for many hours with our investors and like internally as well. One thing is that even though in the blockchain space, data is not locked, you always have that on the back of your mind such that you can like switch from one provider to another. At the same time, there's still some switching costs. So I wouldn't say it's a zero. And people are not, as soon as they have like, let's say a MetaMask account, the action of exporting that wallet and like putting that into something else is a real
hassle.
Struggle. Yeah, and this is partially the reason, like coming back to the question earlier, that why we didn't do our own vault. We just didn't see that like many people would switch from their MetaMask to create like a new wallet in Xerion. So there's no real need for that. And as soon as you get a wallet, you kind of stick to it for a pretty long time. So it's not like a bank account, but at the same time, it's not as easy as just like moving from one provider to another. So, and same goes to actually executing the transactions. So what I mean by that is that the space is getting more and more complex, and the number of protocols, the number of primitives and opportunities is increasing dramatically, such that it's just going to be impossible for anyone to keep track of everything that is going on. So that is where we see a lot of value in the future. So it's a pure aggregation play. So we can provide unbiased information about unbiased view of the market, and allow people to see opportunities as well within the market and execute on them.
Do you think there could be a future where the protocols pay a small fee to the interfaces where the users are coming from? So I know, for example, Kyber, they have a small affiliate fee that, for example, Argent, they have Kyber integrated to allow users to swap tokens, so Ether for USDC, for example, and for each trade, then Argent receives a very small commission. So do you think this is a model that we could see more and more in the future?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that, but I would bet that that's the case. So more protocols that were launched recently, they have some sort of referral fees or commissions, similar to following the Kyber's model. So I think, yeah, that would be, I think, prevalent at some point in the future. We'll see how much of a sustainable source of income that becomes, but that is definitely a possibility.
Because I feel like some of these protocols, they generate a good amount of money and, you know, they have huge market caps, but what they're really sometimes lacking is a nice interface that makes it easy for users to use. For example, I'm thinking about UN Finance, for example. I don't find it super straightforward to use. And
yeah, not at all.
And also, I mean, many of these interfaces, they're like spread out everywhere. Like, I don't remember all the like website addresses to find them and stuff. So having something, if I have something like Zirin that I go to every day and then I see it integrated there, it's also like a sign of trust, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think about the market. So the market is super fragmented. Like, as you said, you cannot keep up with everything. Even I cannot keep up with everything that's going on. And like, I constantly miss stuff for like a day or two if I'm not on Twitter like all the time. That's a big problem. And for like the majority, that's going to be the case. And even for like early adopters of the tech, of like DeFi space, it is going to be a problem. And we need to enter the state of the market for that to flourish.
Yeah, I think even in the traditional finance world, like alpha always comes from, you know, being deep in the space and really researching all the time. That's why people pay like analysts and like these sort of research companies so much for reports. But in DeFi, it's a whole new level, right? It moves so fast every day.
Yeah.
But something like Zirin is a very good first step for someone that is new to the space to at least have a lot of good choices in one interface, for sure.
Yeah, that's right. So I think we're at this point in the market when people are finding this interesting yield farming opportunity. So they like, oh, now they are excited about Wi-Fi token. And they would go to Wi-Fi and like try to struggle a bit with the interface. And then next time they go and then, let's say they already have a few tokens and their wallet now is useless because it doesn't show their tokens properly. And that's how they find us. And so essentially they find us through like once they have a few opportunities executed on. But then in the future, we hope that more and more people will find us directly as like the place where they can find and explore these different opportunities and execute on them without, you know, all of the hustle of going to multiple websites and like seeing bad UIs as well.
Yeah. Talking about monetization, on Twitter, you hinted, or the Zirin account hinted at a token sale. Was that more of a joke, or are you considering launching your own token?
So it's kind of both. So someone released a ZER token on Uniswap and we didn't like that. So some people already put some liquidity there and we were worried that more people are going to be scammed. And we just proceeded with that tweet right away. We just saw how like 1inch and Curved posted their tweets, and that was exactly the same text that we decided to post. Simply the reason for that was we were contemplating and like considering token ideas internally, and we just wanted to see if this is something that the community might be interested in as well. But I'm not gonna release anything to the public until we have that.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah. Will you buy a Zirin token?
For sure. on day one only though, so I can dump them on the public. No, I'm kidding. No, for sure.
So that's the thing. So we don't want the people just to get excited and then dump it. So if we were to release a token, it's going to be a meaningful one.
Yeah. But I mean, I totally understand if you can talk about it more, but how could something like that look like? Because as we said, you're like an interface. So how can you share a couple of rough ideas of how that could look like a token?
So all I can say is that it's going to be pretty new. So there are not many interfaces that did have like a good version of a token. But I think there's a lot of space to be creative here.
Yeah.
And in terms of where we were looking as like ideas, we were thinking of rewarding people for doing transactions through Zirin. So, and that's not purely an interface play, because with the DeFi SDK, it's on-chain smart contract solution. So with that, we are a bit tapping into the protocol space, and we can reward people directly through like the smart contracts if they're transacting through Zirin. So that can be an additional layer of incentives to the people. So that I can say, yeah.
Okay.
So we're looking into that direction.
Okay, cool. Also, because at the moment, as we said, the DeFi space is really, really hot. I am getting really a lot of messages from people, friends and stuff, who for the first time, they're really like asking me, approaching me about you know, what DeFi is about, what tokens to invest in. It's the first time I'm witnessing this. So like 2017, they asked about like, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum, but now they're really asking about DeFi. So that's very different. But can you see that as well from your numbers in at Zerion? Do you see a lot of like a peak in user numbers and traffic?
Oh yeah, 100%. So we did a sixfold increase in terms of number of users over the last 2 months. Crazy. So that was and like on mobile we grew from like almost nothing. Mobiles were pretty small, but now like a few thousand people use it every day. So that's like the numbers that we saw in like a month, if just a few months ago. So that did change a lot. We're seeing way more traffic, and and I think like we peaked in July, and like August is probably going to be even more. So there's definitely a lot of hype happening around the DeFi space, and like my circle of friends is also kind of like started to buzz about DeFi. Yeah. And I think it's happening.
That's a short answer. Do you have also insights on where your users are from? Because I'm always interested to know how global DeFi really is. I mean, that's the dream, right? That there's no KYC, mm-hmm. everyone can just like participate in this global network. And my impression is that it is, when I see on Twitter, like people really seem to be from all corners of the world. But do you have any insights on that?
Yeah, so I would say like about 4 months ago, we only had, I'd say like the 50% of our users was from the US. Mm-hmm. And over the last couple months, it did go down to only like 12%. Even though by usage, the people from the US is still number one, but we have a quite diverse group of countries that are using Zerion. So we have now a lot of people from India and Nigeria. We have Philippines. We have essentially every European country, starting from France, and then we have we have Germany as well, and like Russia is being pretty big as well. So a lot of countries, and like all of them being a few topic ones, and then the rest being just evenly distributed, I would say.
I think for continents like Africa, probably one of the big barriers is that the DeFi is still very concentrated on desktop, right? Like on web. It's pretty hard to interact with protocols on mobile.
At the same time, though, like we did see, so all of these new users from India and Nigeria, they're coming, a lot of them are coming from Trust Wallet, for instance. And Trust Wallet is on mobile, and it's I think the interface works nicely as well. Yeah. So it does work for these people too. And like a mobile version of Zerion, fairly popular, I would say.
And then they connect their Trust Wallet with Zerion via Wallet Connect, or... Is that
no? It's actually instant. So they just open a website and they see a button to connect. I don't even know if there is a need to press on the button. I think we pick up the address from Trust right away.
Okay,
and it just simply works.
Yeah, I saw that actually. I opened the Zerion wallet. I was. Is that what? Like, why do you offer like Trust Wallet as an option there and not other wallets? Is it sort of a partnership or something, or?
So there are two things going on. So on first, I was talking about Dia browsers. So Trust Wallet has a Dia browser on Android still, and people there can just go to Zerion.io and it will pick up an address from the Trust Wallet.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right about the mobile app. In the mobile app, we just featured Trust Wallet because recently Apple has been pretty strict on removing Dia browsers. So they just decided to remove their browsers from many wallets. Yeah. And a lot of our users were coming from Trust Wallet, so we didn't want to kind of stop supporting them. So that's why we do feature Trust Wallet, and they have a pretty convenient SDK to fetch the address from the Trust Wallet.
Okay.
And like others are not that open in terms of that. But I think it's gonna change as well. So I believe it's gonna be similar to how you interact with stuff on the desktop, but like MetaMask, right? You can just go to any website and use MetaMask or Fortmatic. And similar is going to happen, I think, on the phones, but not in the form of DApp browsers, but in the form of separate applications that deep link to each other. So we'll be able to deep link to Coinbase Wallet, to Trust Wallet, to others.
Cool. And other insights that I was interested in is, like, how many wallets does a typical user connect? Or is it just like one wallet, like MetaMask? Or do people really have like 3-4 different wallets?
It's a good question. So it really depends on like who you define as a good user, because a lot of people would come to Zerion from like a direct link. Let's say someone puts out a link to their portfolio or a portfolio of a treasury of some protocol, and people would go there and this address would be added. So these are kind of not like the users in typical understanding, but majority is still owning one wallet. So like a lot of users have one wallet, but then the most active ones have like 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. Yeah.
Gotcha. One last topic is layer two, because at the moment gas costs are really high, right? Like, so every time users want to use like a protocol, it costs them gas, which is like the network cost or the cost leveraged by the network. And for the moment, it's almost like when people ask me where to get started with DeFi, I almost don't want to send them somewhere because I'm afraid they will never come back, you know, if they have to like spend $10 on a token swap and stuff. So yeah, really looking forward to layer two, so I can, you know, proudly present Ethereum to friends again. Are you guys working on anything there, or is this still far away?
So we're not working on it as of now, but we are researching it and thinking, like, we are speaking with a few providers of L2 solutions and thinking of how we can integrate that into Zerion, because that I have the same pain as you do. So showing DeFi to anyone right now, it's kind of like a mess.
I mean, because that would be a nice hack if the wallets themselves don't offer any integrations there themselves, but Zerion would integrate some, then you could just like use layer two through Zerion, basically.
Yeah, exactly. That would be ideal. So we can provide a much cheaper services for people who are new to the space. Yeah. And they don't spend like insane amounts on just trading, let's say, tokens. Yeah.
What would be the use case that you'd like to enable most via layer two, like simple send transfers, or the use of a decentralized exchange on layer two, or have you thought about that?
Yeah, so just sending doesn't sound too exciting. So yes, that would be cool. And I think everyone is going to transition for like token transfers to transition to the layer two solutions. And we will definitely have support for that. There's no doubt here. But it's much more interesting to see how like some portions of DeFi, at least having them in the layer two. And starting with trading, that would be interesting. And way more useful. So I'm looking at, let's say, like Loopring kind of solutions that already enable that. So we'll see how it evolves. And there's definitely a lot of value in that.
Okay. Yep. Do you think for token transfers, like most wallets will sort of integrate the same layer two solutions, or that these transfers then also work across like all major wallets? Or because if they all integrate different layer two solutions, it's a sort of like a problem, right?
It's a bit of a problem, yeah. Similar to the way I see it is there are many lending protocols, right? And like Aave, Compound, Maker, and et cetera, so it's in that sense, I think if there are just a few layer two protocols, I don't think it's going to be, you know, thousands of them or like even hundreds, but probably it's not going to be one. And they're probably going to differentiate and like be specialized on different things. And we're just going to support the major ones that hit their product market fit. Mm.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see the first integrations there. Thank you. Do you have any things that you want to say?
I guess one thing I wanted to say is that join our Discord. You can find the link from our product, and yeah, we'll be happy to see you there. Abi, our community lead, is really helpful and welcoming. So yeah, let's engage in the conversation. Please share your feedback about the product. That's always really, really helpful for us. Yeah, and follow us on Twitter too.
I'll also include a link to the Azerion interface so that people can get started. I also want to release some video tutorials soon on my website. So I will make sure to include one on Azerion there as well. And yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks. I enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
Hey, it's me again. I hope you liked this episode. If you did, please feel free to share it with your friends and family or give us a follow on Twitter or LinkedIn. And if you have some feedback, reach out to me. I'd love to hear it.